Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. We've been talking about favor. More than likely, this will be the last message, last one of the series, I'm assuming. But I want to talk to you today about, first Sunday we talked about the favor of God and what it is, and then last week we talked about the purpose of favor. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the activation and the releasing of the favor that we have in our lives. How do we release that, and what does that look like, and where do we start? And we want to make sure that there's something. Let me ask you this question. Do you want to manifest? Do you want to live out? Do you want to be living out to manifest the things of God? Yes. Well, there's a process in how that's done. The first is to be able to hear. The Bible says that you should be able to hear. And then when you hear, and it's by hearing, faith comes. It is by the hearing of the Word of God. It's by, everybody say hearing. So you come here to hear, faith comes. It says by hearing, faith comes. And then when faith comes, we believe. And then we begin to have knowledge. Everybody say the word knowledge. So hearing, by hearing the Word of God, faith begins to be produced. And then we get knowledge. And then when that knowledge is illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit, when that knowledge is illuminated, it brings revelation. Hearing, faith, knowledge, illumination, revelation. You see it? And that revelation that you get, the revealing that you get by the Holy Spirit, it will bring you transformation, because now your mind is beginning to be renewed because of the revelatory things that God is showing you. So then that brings transformation. Transformation will in turn get you to manifest. When you're transformed, you begin to manifest what you've, watch this, what you've heard. Boy, that's good. So you have to hear, faith. By hearing, faith comes. And then in that faith, knowledge comes. And once you have knowledge, the Holy Spirit begins to breathe upon it and illuminates it. He begins to shed light upon what the knowledge that you have. And it's by the Spirit that it's illuminated. And once it's illuminated, it becomes revelation. And revelation, when it's revelation to you, it gets inside you. It gets inside. Why? Because it's a revelation. And then once that revelation is there, it begins to make you be transformed. So the transformation happens. And when you're transformed, guess what you get to do? Manifest what you heard. Boy, I tell you what, if we capture that process and understand, it's not about just saying, okay, I heard about salvation and faith came for me to be saved, and now I'm sitting still. No, that's not what he wants to do. He wants you to be able to manifest who he is in the presence of other people. He wants you to be his witness, sometimes even without saying a word. He wants your life to be the light that others see and they know it's him. He wants you to be the light. You are the light. And he wants you to live it in a way that it's manifested in your life. Well, that manifestation comes with all these other steps. This process that it's him. That's how he does it. And that's the reason we want to talk and really understand the thing about favor. Because once you begin to know favor and you begin to see the favor of God in your life, you begin to see what he does in his favor. And then you begin to see what he wants you to do in his favor. No, then you start living it out. Then you start manifesting the kingdom. the king's domain. Kingdom, the domain. Kingdom. He wants you to manifest the kingdom. He wants you to manifest the favor in his kingdom. He wants you to be able to understand he's giving you faith. Let's look at Romans. Did you find Romans? Now I'm gonna read out of the Amplified version. Therefore, since we are justified, which means we're acquitted, we're declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. Whoa! Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through faith, he said, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also we have our access, our entrance by faith into this grace, which is the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. Point one. You know, after knowing his grace, after knowing that he has saved us, we're his family, that he has justified us, he has called us, and he has declared us to be righteous. No matter what other people are declaring you, he declares you righteous because he has redeemed you and bought you and purchased you and put away all your sins. And he says, and not just that, he said, we have peace with God, but it's also through him we have access to be able to stand in his favor. Everybody say, I'm standing in the favor of God. But see, a lot of times we can be standing. That's what the Bible says. We're standing in the favor of God. But see, we can stand in, you know what? You can be standing in the midst of something that is very big and not even know it. You understand that? We miss God's presence a lot of time because we're looking for it to be him to be something else that we're looking for, instead of it being what he wants his presence to be at that time. And we miss him. I want you to turn to somebody and say, I'm sitting in the presence of greatness. I want you to, I'm sitting in the presence. Tell them I'm sitting in the presence of greatness. Tell them I'm sitting beside greatness. I'm sitting beside greatness. Why? Because you're standing in the favor of God. There's nothing that's impossible for you. In God, there's nothing impossible for you. He wants us to grab hold of that. He said, let us grab hold of the thing that we have this knowledge that we are standing. We have access to the favor of God. As a matter of fact, we're standing in his favor. That'll change your whole view of what you're about to go do when you get up in the next, or when you leave here. That changes your whole, should change your whole view. You're standing in greatness. Well, where is it? It's wherever you go. You don't leave your favor here when you leave. You're standing, why? Because you're standing in it. Wherever you are, you're standing in God's favor. Why? Because all this thing about you've been justified, you've been set apart, you have been born again, you have been washed in his blood, and he has redeemed you, he's bought you, and he said, because of that, you have no sin. He declares you, you're right. Turn to the person's next to you and say, if you're born again, you're righteous. Now, if you're born again, say, I'm righteous. And the reason, say this, I have the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody stand to your feet. Let's just declare that. Stand to your feet. Let's just declare. Listen, we have somewhere along the way, you know, sometimes, I love the part of that song that says, what is it? Nothing. You're never going to let me down. What is it? You're never going to let me down. 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 Boy, you know, we sing it so many times, and some people say, well, how many more times are we going to sing it till it gets in you? Sometimes you just got to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until it gets down inside you. Then instead of looking at the words on the screen, you're at home or you're somewhere else saying, you're never going to let me down. With enemy whispers and says, I got you now. You're never going to let me down. You will never get out of this mess. You're never going to let me down. You don't have to look at it on the words anymore. Why? Because it's in you. It's in you. Revelation begins transformation, and the transformation lets you manifest what you heard. All right, say this. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One more time. That sounded so good, let's hear it again. You may be seated if you can. Well, we're still in the introduction. He said, by faith, you have the access by faith to be able to stand in God's favor. Just take, that's where you're standing. We read you verses the other day that you're surrounded by favor. Now you're standing in favor. No matter what, you're standing in favor. And safely in favor. And let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Let us begin to be a happy people. Why? Is this the reality? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let us exalt in our hope of what? Experiencing what we just talked about. Experiencing it and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, now, once again, he says, moreover, let us also be in full joy. Everybody say, now. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be okay when we all get on the bus and head home. And when we get there, he said, you should be experiencing the fullness of his joy now. That's what it says. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles. Everybody say troubles. Anybody got any? Wave your hand. Oh, you're not liars. That's good. Everybody's got trouble on this earth, right? So on this earth, you're going to have troubles. Jesus said, listen, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have some tough times. And he's talking to his people. He's talking to his disciples. And that's what he says to us. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have places that you're going to have to get through. But be of good cheer. But be happy. But be joyous. Lord, you just said I'm going through a tough time. I know. But be joyous. Why? Because I have overcome this world. And you, listen, this, according to Scripture, you are standing in my favor. Oh. You, everybody say, I'm standing in his favor. Well, I like to stand on the promises, don't you? Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises. But I like this. You stand in my favor. My acceptance, my approval, and my provision. You're standing in all of it. And he goes on and says, in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. This is what we're talking about the other week when we said the favor of God is not just for you. You to be blessed and you to have this and you to have, yes, he wants you to have that. He wants you to have a lot of things. That he wants you to look at him being the source of everything. Then he wants you to see when trouble comes and when suffering comes that I'm still going to say, I love the Lord. I'm standing in his favor. Yeah. Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance and endurance fortitude. How many of you need some endurance? It starts with troubles. How many of you want patience? It starts with troubles. How many of you, is it endurance and it develops maturity of character? How many of you want to be mature in the character of Jesus? You want to grow up and be more like him? Wave at me. You want to grow up and represent? It starts with troubles. But he's equipped you. He has fitted you in his favor. Your approved faith and tried integrity. The character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let me read that out of the Phillips translation. Since then, it has been by faith that we were justified. Let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have confidently entered into this new relationship of favor. And here we take our stand. And here we take our stand in happy certainty of the glorious things he has for us in the future. Happy confidence. This does not mean, of course, that we have only a hope for future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, which is his favor, these very things will give us patient endurance. This in turn will develop a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. Already, we have some experience of his love, the love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. I'm going to tell you something. Sonia, you're standing in favor. Doesn't matter what's going on around you, you're standing in favor. And not only are you just standing in favor, this Bible just said you can stand in the joy of God's presence and his provision, no matter what's going on around you. Why? Because he said, not just for hope for the future, but you can have this hope and this favor during troubles, during difficulties, during suffering, during bad times. Why is that? Because you're standing in his favor. Favor will give you the ability to sustain crisis. I'm going to see how this other side responds. Favor will give you the ability to be sustained in crisis. Amen. Amen. Is that true? That's what the book says. Favor gives you the ability not just to be able to have now, but to have in the future, but not just in the future, but to have now when things are not going best in the world. To be able to stand up, yeah, we just got through sin. I'm the righteousness of God. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no matter how they treat you. You still stand in the full favor of God no matter what they do to you. No matter what they say, no matter what they do. Nehemiah had the same problem when he was building the wall. He had favor to go and build it. He prayed for favor. He asked for favor, got favor, left and went through all these countries and nobody bothered him. He went through foreign countries and nobody bothered him. You are the light. You go through darkness and nobody bothers you. You're the light. Doesn't mean you're not going to get resistance, because when he gets to the point that where he's supposed to take action and begin to build, then the very people that don't understand favor and don't understand the assignment become jealous and envious and resist the very things that God has called you to do. But guess what? Favor will give you the ability, Sonia, to do the exact thing that God has said for you to do. No matter what these are saying, no matter what's being said, no matter what's being talked about, and then they criticize. Even if you build the wall, if a fox jumps up on it, it'll crumble. No, you just declare, hey, I'm standing in the favor of God. I will complete my assignment because of the favor of God. Whether you help or whether you don't. Because somebody else is going to be sent by God that's going to say, oh, I see the favor on your life and I want in on it. Or somebody may tell you, I don't really know why I'm doing this, but I'm supposed to do this for you. I don't know. I don't have a clue as to why I'm giving you this, but would you come and get it? Well, yeah, I'll come and get it. See, you already know why they're giving it to you, because it's your favor. The favor of God has already spoke to their heart and said, I need to give this to him. Y'all with me? See, it's not just for us. It's for us to be able to make connections with other people so that we can actually accomplish what it is that God wants us to do. God, at your being born again, put a destiny inside you, but that needs to be accomplished. Favor will help you accomplish that destiny. That's the reason you need to know that you're standing in his favor. You're standing in his approval. See, a lot of times we can't get past of, well, God don't love me. God not only loves you, he likes you. This thing of favor. So I'm standing in favor. So you're standing in God's favor. You should never forget that. If you have to say it over and over and over, say it to yourself over and over and over. You know, do you understand that sometimes favor will begin to separate you from yourself? All of a sudden the anointing comes on you, the favor of the anointing comes on you, and then you're doing things that you would normally do. Why? That it has separated you from yourself, separated you from your own ability. Then the next thing you're doing is, you know, I don't normally do this, but why? Why? The favor of God is moving on you to do something for other people. You know what favor, you know what else favor will do? Favor will begin to impact demons in such a way that they won't hang around. How do we know that? King Saul had an evil spirit, had a demon. He called David because he knew, watch this, he knew that David had favor. He had favor. He said, bring David here and let him play his harp. Let him play his musical instruments. And David comes in. Listen, the king tries to kill him. But David comes on in with his instruments. Why? He's favor. I'm standing in the favor of God. And he comes in, he begins to play his harp and begins to worship in a way. I don't know exactly. Maybe he sings. Maybe he just plays. And my Bible tells me that the evil spirit departed. Why? David stepped into the place of where he was called to do, and he begins to do what he's called to do. He begins to minister in his calling and with the anointing of God, and demons have to leave. They hate the very favor being manifested in people. That's the reason that Satan told you, or said in the Bible, he said he left him for a more opportune time. He'd had enough of Jesus quoting the word. He'd have enough of Jesus standing in the favor of God. He'd done tried this and tried that. And then he said, and Satan left him for a more opportune season. Well, I'll let him try to weaken up a little bit. And that's what he does with us. But see, some of us ain't strong enough to make him leave. Why? We don't understand the favor of God. See, when you leave here with favor all around you, favor all on you, and you're standing in the place of God's favor, God's acceptance, God's approval, and God's provision. What else do you need? And then he's going to send people right by your side to be able to go do what it is you're supposed to do. Are y'all, you getting this? So the next obstacle that you see, the next trouble that knocks on your door, somebody said, when trouble knocks, don't answer it. Well, the problem with that is, are you going to stay in there for the rest of your life? Probably not. Well, it'll be waiting on you. Why? Because he said it's going to produce endurance. It's going to produce a character in you. It's going to make you more mighty inside favor. Little old Gideon, he's back there on the backside of nowhere, hiding. There's a skirmish going on, and God wants his people to respond, to take the land, to push back on the enemy, and to take the land. But I'm just Gideon. I'm the least of my family. I'm the smallest of my family. And my family is the smallest of all the families. We're nothing. We're nothing. He didn't realize that he was standing in the favor of God. The angel shows up, says, hey, Gideon, thou mighty warrior, thou mighty man of valor. Me? And what happened to him? He started standing in his favor. He went from weakness to a warrior. Yeah, you might feel weak, but I'm telling you that favor of God will make you a warrior. All you have to do is say, oh, I'm standing in the favor of God. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do next, Lord? What's next? What do you want me to do now? Why? Because the favor is given to you to extend the kingdom of God for others. Say amen. It really is. We really need to understand that in the midst of crisis, that he wants us to see the favor of God. Matter of fact, when trouble comes, just start looking for it. Well, where's the favor of God? I'm standing in it. I'm just going to have to see it be manifest, because I need to hear something. I need to have faith in it. And then I have the knowledge of it. And then he's going to illuminate what I know. And that's going to produce revelation of it. And when the revelation gets inside me, it's going to transform it. And then I can be able to manifest what he said. Just manifest. That's when I'll manifest what he said. You know, that might take some time. I know the wall did. Right? It might take some time. Keep standing. Keep standing in that place of favor that's going to give you everything that you need to do what he's given you to do. Amen? He wants us to do that with so much. I want you to, you can write this down. Proverbs 11:11. Let me see if I can find that in my notes. I'm skipping around a little bit, but because I got things I got to get to you. Proverbs 11 and 11. Listen to this out of the Passion Translation. Listen, the blessing of favor resting upon the righteous influences a city to lift it up. Ooh. The blessings of favor resting upon the righteous. Who's righteous? We are. The blessings of favor resting upon the righteous influences a city to lift it up. You know who's supposed to be influencing this city? Everybody say, that's me. Raise your hand and say, that's me. That's what God, you and I, listen, there is a corporate favor that we need to tap into. We need to understand that there's a corporate, I have the favor as an individual, we have corporate favor. Everybody say corporate favor. Corporate favor is found over in, you'll find that over in, Acts chapter 2. This is the beginning of how you see the first church and what they did. Yeah, I look back at the first church and I begin reading. I see everything that they've done. I see what they went through. They went through persecutions. But I see verses like this. Verse 46, Acts chapter 2. And continuing daily in one accord. Everybody say one accord. Continuing daily. That meant every day. Everybody say every day. Every day. Say every day. Say every single day. Every day, continuing every day in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And then what happened? God added to the church daily. Well, let's just get in one accord. That's good. If you know what it means. Well, it means unity. It means coming together. It means unifying. A little bit. Yes. And basically, we try to make it only be that. See, this word accord means much more than what that is. The Holy Spirit's about to illuminate something for you because he did for me. But listen to this. This thing of favor, this thing of accord means intense affection. Intense affection that retains its heat even if it has opposition. Brotherly affection, a passionate, intense affection. Watch this, one with the other. Do you hear it? Intense affection with one another. How far are we away from that? And we want the corporate favor. But the first thing that happens sometimes in a body, in a congregation, is usually when something happens, is judgment, condemnation. That's not intense affection. Are y'all hearing me? Having intense affection with one another. This brotherly affection that's from God. He said, they were in accord of one another. They had intense affection for one another. And they came together. You hear it? That's what God's wanting. You have the favor to be able to love each other far beyond their actions. intense affection. Boy, if a congregation could capture that, we would have so much corporate favor. Listen to me, we'd have so much corporate favor. Jesus actually said, by this shall the world know that you are my disciples. And how is that? By your love, one for the other. This intense affection, this one accord. If we don't capture the true meaning and the value of God's word, we will become a religious people that know the cliches. We know the form of godliness, but we will continue to have no power. God, I honestly believe God is preparing this congregation and others to transform into this intense love one for other, and this intense affection for one another, regardless of what's been done. One accord. That's the landing strip of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not create the unity at Pentecost. They already had one accord. Then the Holy Spirit fell. It's getting late. I'm going to share one more thing and we'll go. We need to make sure that when favor comes, we never forget it. Listen to this, and here's why. The Bible says that over in Exodus chapter 1, the Bible says that the children of Israel was in bondage. It also says that they had to build Pharaoh's treasure houses. They had to build the houses that stored all the jewels. So we're in Exodus 1. They had to do rigorous labor, hard labor. And they had to build the very houses that stored all the gold and all the jewels and all the riches, as they were in poverty and in bondage and slavery. The Bible also says that when it came time for them to leave, God told them to ask their neighbor for the riches. People were saying, let's get rid of them. These plagues are killing us. Let's get rid of these. Get these people out of here. Get them out of here. And God said, ask them for the riches. Ask them for the silver. Ask them for the gold. Ask them for the flocks. Well, we'll go, but we want all your gold, all that gold's in. We built them buildings, all that gold's in there, all that silver's in there, and all the precious clothing that's in there. We want it. Here, get it, take it. Get that cart over here. Let us load it up. Here, come on. What, you got any more wagons? That's what happened. The Bible said they plundered. Little old slave people plundered Egypt. Drove out with all the gold, all the silver, all the goats, all the cows, all the pigs. Well, they didn't have pigs, I'm sorry. All the oxen, just drove away with all of it. Well, I like that, don't you? God said, I'll get you out of this. My favor's on you. It's what the Bible says, my favor's on you. And you're going to be able to leave this place, but you ain't leaving empty-handed. That's exactly what he said. He said, you're not going to leave empty-handed. So the very houses that they built, they got to empty out and take with them. Everybody say, praise God. and that is good. Then they get out in the wilderness and they get out there in the mountain. Moses is going up in the mountain, and what happens? He's up there a good while, right? He's up there a good while. What's he doing? He's getting more instructions from God. And while he's gone, the people forget the favor of God and why they were supposed to be delivered. He said, let my people go so they can go out into the wilderness and worship and serve me. That was the very reason. They forgot it. Moses is gone. He's getting instructions. They forgot all about the favor. What happened? The very thing that they got blessed with became an idol. Why? They forgot their favor. They forgot why are we out in this? Let's just, and one of the leaders gives one of the lamest excuses that I have ever heard tell of. Moses comes down and says, what is it, Moses? What is this I see? What? What? What do you see? What? What do you see? He don't want it to be talked about. What do you, no, what is this I see? There's a golden calf. All I know is the people brought all this gold and poured it over here in this thing, and up popped this calf. Point. Forget the favor that God has given you and use it for your own purposes, and it will create idols for you to worship. You with me? Don't ever forget it. If you gave you favor to go do this, go do it. Amen? Well, I'll just use it for something. No. He said, go do it this. And that's what he said, go do it. You learn anything? A cord. You and I. Intense affection. One for the other. Favor comes corporately. And we will be able to do things just like Proverbs 11:11 says. When favor, the favor of God, when it rests upon the righteous, it's not talking about just a person. It said the favor of God rests upon the righteous. It will influence. They will be able to influence an entire city to lift it up. You want to see the town of Spindale? You want to see Rutherford? You want to see all these cities lifted up? You want to see them influenced by the favor of God? Find the one accord. Stand in the favor of God. Be passionately affectionate toward each other. Amen. Stand to your feet. Did you learn anything today? You know, Daniel says that the people that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. When you know God's favor, when you know that he loves you, when you know that he's affectionate, he has approved of you. He has accepted you. He has redeemed you. He has bought you. He has paid. His love is all over you. This song that we sing, fear doesn't stand a chance. When I'm standing in your love, the people that know their God, that begin to know his favor, know who he is and know what he's given and know how he approves and accepts and provides for us, they will gain strength. They will become strong, and they will do great exploits. I want that. Do you want that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the favor that we stand in that covers us, that surrounds us like a shield. Lord, keep us conscious at all times of that we have your favor and that we're in your favor. And that the favor that you've given us is for a certain task and for a certain thing. And we will not use your favor for our own benefit, but to benefit other people. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would teach us how to be in one accord in this congregation. How to be passionately affectionate, intensely affectionate with brotherly love, brotherly kindness that comes from you. Lord, our greatest days are in front of us. We want to enter into them with the doors of favor wide open to us and us not holding back on anything. That the impossible things that we see will be a journey for us to be able to conquer it and overcome it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Give God praise.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.